Chapter 60. Nicky sat in the near darkness on the bench carved out of the same stone as the walls. The outer room, a second layer of protection guarding the room hollowed out of solid rock, was shielded. The only way in or out was through the double set of iron doors with the shielded room between them. This was where the most dangerous of prisoners were held. Prisoners who could command magic. There was no telling how many people had sat in this very room as they awaited their appointment with death, or worse. Nicky could hear footsteps in the outer passageway beyond the two iron doors. Someone was coming. She had known that it was only a matter of time until he came. Nicky was in a state of utter calm. She knew why she was there. She knew why Richard had told Nathan to have her locked in this cell. She heard the lock in the outer door clang open, the metallic sound echoing through the network of low corridors. She could hear someone grunting as they tugged in a series of muscular pulls, forcing the door bound up on rusty hinges to open enough to get through. When she saw shadows through the small opening in the door to her inner cell, Nicky blew out the flame on the lamp beside her on the stone bench that was the room's bed and only furnishing. A key scraped, and then the lock to her cell sprang open. After being in complete silence for so long, she found the strident sound exceptionally loud. As the door grated open, the light from a lantern flooded in. Dust from the rusty door floated up in that harsh yellow light. Emperor Jagang ducked down as he stepped over the high sill to squeeze in through the doorway. Nicky stood. He was wearing his sleeveless vest so as to display his muscular bulk. His shaved head reflected the single flame of the lantern he'd brought. His black eyes looked entirely at home in the depths of the dark hole in the rock. Those black eyes gleamed as he took in the sight of her. She had made sure to loosen the top of her dress so that he would have something to catch his attention. It worked. "I've been dreaming of you, darling," he said, as if he thought it would impress her. He always had believed that his lust proved something to her, as if his lack of civility or restraint only demonstrated how overwhelmingly appealing she was to him. To Nicky, it only served to prove that he was an unprincipled savage. Nicky stood tall, saying nothing, refusing to shy away as Jagang moved in close. He circled his muscular arm around her waist, pulling her tight against his powerful bulk, demonstrating his command of her, his virility, his unchallenged authority. Nicky had no desire to drag it out. She casually reached her arms up around him and snapped the Rotahan closed around his bull neck. He staggered back a step in confusion. She knew that he would feel the power of the collar piercing into every fiber of his being. "What have you done?" he asked in a tone of anger bordering on a kind of horror she had never heard out of him before. She had no desire to discuss the matter, so she simply exerted her control through the collar to prevent him from talking. If she knew Jagang, and she did, then Sister Ulysia would be up in the Garden of Life working to open the right box of Ordon. She didn't want Ulysia to realize what had just happened. Jagang would have been impatient to get at Nicky. The nightmares Richard had sent had plagued him, but the dreams Richard had given him of Nicky had turned his obsession for her into a passion, a mania, that had slowly grown to the point where it was nearly intolerable. Jagang had always desired her, but after the dreams Richard had crafted, Jagang could think of little else but possessing her. He had even been willing to leave Sister Ulysia to her work, to come down to the dungeon and personally recover her. It was a small gift Richard had given her. When Nathan had locked her in the cell, he had explained from behind the shields that protected his words from the ears of any spies that Richard had devised the scheme as his last gift for Nicky. Richard knew that they would have to surrender the palace. He knew that they were all going to die. The one thing he could give Nicky was Jagang. The Rotahan had been in the cell. It was the collar that Anne had left there when she had been imprisoned by Nathan for a time. That was what had been so important that Anne had been trying to tell Nicky before she had been killed. Nathan had known that the Rata Han was in the cell, behind the shields of the room. Richard wanted Nicky to have it, and to have a way to bring final justice to Jigang the Just. Richard had no illusions that it defeated the Imperial Order. The corrupt beliefs of the Order tainted the minds of millions. Jigang was not its architect. That communal hatred would burn on without one man. Nicky understood that as well. She had grown up with the teachings of the Order. She knew how they attempted to perform the alchemy turning suffering into virtue, wrongdoing into righteousness, death into salvation. Such beliefs were born in man's willful refusal to use his mind, in his lust for the unearned, his wish for success without effort. Such beliefs were the embodiment of hatred for all that was good, a hatred for virtue, hatred for value. It was ultimately a hatred of themselves, of life, of existence. It was that hate, that dedication to death, that was the true manifestation of evil. Killing Jigang would not cure mankind of such irrational zealotry. The beliefs of the Order were not driven by one man. The Order would go on without Jigang. Nor would killing Jigang stop those who had put the Boxes of Orden in play, or the Chainfire spell, or the taint from the chimes, or the vast army who lay in wait, surrounding the palace, so eager for blood and plunder. This would not change any of that. But Richard had wanted to give her the last gift of being able to see this small bit of justice done before her own life was snuffed out, along with the rest of them, by the sisters invoking the power of Orden in service to the army devoted to the beliefs of the Fellowship of Order. It was Richard's only way to thank her for all she had done, to allow her this one small bit of final salvation from the man who had so terribly abused her. Nicky stepped over the high sill. Her prisoner, unable to protest, followed. While her gift was limited within the people's palace, it was enough to easily use the unique nature of the Rata Han. She could have dropped Jigang to the ground in overwhelming agony, but she used only the power necessary to overcome his unwillingness to follow her silent directives. Outside the second door, several officers of the first file, men who had brought Jigang down to his caged prize, waited. The passageway was so low and cramped that the men had to hunch under the low ceiling and stand in a line because they wouldn't fit side by side. They were shocked to see Nicky now in command of the Emperor. A big man in a uniform, the captain of the prison guards, was there with them. The man had been kind to her, offering to bring her anything she wanted. She now had what she wanted. "Captain Lerner," she said, "if you would be so kind as to show us out of this maze." He gazed at the muscular man behind her in a collar, and then smiled at her. "I would be only too happy to do so." Once up into the immense halls of the palace, Nicky made Jigang lead the way. She followed close behind him, making sure that he kept going, that he talked to no one, that he acknowledged no one. He tried mightily to overcome the power of the collar. It was ridiculously easy for Nicky to overwhelm all of his resistance, all of his might and fury. He was as helpless as a puppet. Throughout the palace, men of the Imperial Order bowed to him as he passed. Nicky didn't allow Jigang to acknowledge them. The men of the Order were used to his superior arrogance, his indifference to them, so they thought nothing of seeing him march past without so much as a look. There was no easy way to get to the Garden of Life. The entire palace was laid out in the form of a power spell, designed to enhance the gift of the Lord Rahl and interfere with the gift of any other. To get anywhere, one had to navigate hallways that were really elements of the spell form. The major lines of the form were the vast corridors. The subordinate elements were formed by smaller halls. The entire palace was a maze of corridors with columns and halls guarded by rows of statues. Much of the interior of the palace was done in stone, beautifully crafted in extravagant designs. The whole palace, while being a spell form, was also a city, with streets made of the spell's corridors and halls. But getting anywhere required maneuvering through the complex lines of that spell form. That made getting anywhere time-consuming. The journey from the dungeons up to the Garden of Life was a long one. As they made their way past places with skylights, Nikki saw that the sky was just beginning to take on a hint of blue. By the time they reached the garden level of the palace, the sun was just up. The first warm rays coming in through the east windows were touching the white marble on the opposite walls. Nikki's intention was to go into the garden with Jagang to see Richard one last time. She had found out from brief questions that Richard had somehow made it back. Jagang didn't know how. Nikki supposed that it didn't really matter now. He was back, and she wanted to see him one last time before the end. She wanted to let him see Jagang, so that he would know that at least the Emperor would not enjoy the terrible fruit of the long war he had carried into the new world. After all he had done, Richard deserved at last to know of that small victory. When they went through the double doors into the Garden of Life, Nikki could see between the trees that the sun was just touching the altar. Half a dozen sisters were gathered around Sister Ulysia. She was standing before the boxes. Even as the boxes were bathed in the sunlight, it looked like they were black voids in the world. The sunlight did nothing to illuminate the boxes. They, instead, looked like they were pulling that sunlight in, taking it down to where it would never be seen again. Jagang struggled mightily to move closer, to fight off the control of the collar. But he couldn't. Nikki kept him in place, in the back, where his guards thought he was merely watching and didn't want to be disturbed. Nikki knew that she could end Jagang's life in an instant. When the time came, she would. No one had any chance to rescue their emperor, even if they had known that he was in mortal trouble. He was hers now. Nikki could see Richard in his magnificent war wizard's outfit. The sight of him made her heart ache. Kaelin stood quietly beside him. If Richard had preserved the sterile field in order to have a chance to counter Chainfire, she wouldn't even know his true feelings for her. Now it looked like Richard would never get that chance, and she would die without ever knowing the truth. Richard spotted Nikki. He saw Jagang beside her, and understood that she had succeeded in using the gift he had given her. He gave her a small, private smile. Sister Ulysia tapped the box on the right. This one. The other sisters were beaming at their success. They would now be able to deliver the power of Warden to the Emperor. They didn't know that he would never be able to celebrate their victory. Sister Ulysia lifted the lid on the box on the right. Golden light flowed from within, almost as if it were liquid. It enveloped the sisters standing before the stone altar. They all smiled with exhilaration at what they had accomplished, even if it was to be put into the service of the Imperial Order, and not themselves. Of course, they would put it to that service without even realizing that Jagang was no longer controlling their minds. If Nikki made them aware of that, though, then the sisters would use the gateway to free the Keeper of the Underworld. Nikki's choice was to allow them to give the world over to the Order or to the Keeper. She knew that was no real choice. At least life under the Imperial Order would be life. If Sisters of the Dark were allowed to do as they would prefer, there would be no real life. Nikki did not want to live to see what was going to come of the new world brought into being by hate. She supposed that she would not have to worry about it. She expected that she had mere moments to live. But Jagang would die before she did. She would make sure of that. Justice would finally visit Jagang the Just. The one thing Nikki couldn't understand was why Richard was smiling.